You are listening to a free version of Majority Report with Sam Steeter. To support this show and get another 15 minutes of daily program, go to majority.fm, please.
The Majority Report with Sam Steeter.
It is only effing Wednesday, May 17th, 2017. My name is Sam Steeter. This is the four-time award-winning Majority Report. We are broadcasting live steps from the industrially ravaged Gowanus Canal in the heartland of America, downtown Brooklyn, USA. Oh, God. On the show today, Comey's revenge. He kept memos. And the end game now probably revealed. Calls for impeachment as Republicans begin to realize they are cornered. Meanwhile, the LA school board goes full charter, but in Philly, a small revolution. As Trump heads abroad, reports that his Russian loose lips sunk an Israeli spy embedded in ISIS. Meanwhile, Chelsea Manning released today, 7 years too late. No one wants to work for Trump, reportedly. And welcome to the 25th Amendment mulligan. New poll shows that healthcare is what is putting the House in play. And another subpoena issued, this time for Paul Manafort. While right-wing media and others, we'll see, push the DNC staffer murder fiction. Your generation's Vince Foster, folks. And lastly, Lawrence O'Donnell apparently out at MSNBC because he was too hard on Trump. Very rude. All that and more on today's program. What's that little buzzing noise? Yeah, buzzing. Whose microphone is that? What's going on? There you go. What was that? Michael's? Oh, good job, Michael. Well, you better work
Thanks,
it out.
Sam. What the heck? Much appreciated.
Well, his microphone's always buzzing sometimes. Ladies and gentlemen.
It's always buzzing sometimes. We will,
yeah, always.
Interesting sentence construction.
Sometimes it's buzzing. We will be taking, we may take some phone calls earlier. So if you want to give us a call at 646-257-3920 today, we have no guest. You know, I said, wow, it was almost six whole days ago. I think I said this, but following the Comey firing, that we would see a cavalcade of leaks, not unlike we did in the week or two before the recusal of Jeff Sessions. And the agenda, of course, is to create, my speculated at the time, would be to create some form of independent investigation outside of the congressional apparatus, one with authority that could not be quashed, like it potentially could have been if it was just the FBI. We may have already superseded that, although, you know, don't get ahead of yourselves. I think there's a lot of people who think that impeachment is inevitable, you know, by June. No, I don't think so. However, what James Comey has done is to begin the process. So apparently, according to associates of James Comey, right, these are leaks, not leaks of any classified information, but this is a concerted campaign here. According to these sources, James Comey wrote contemporaneous memos of every time he interacted with the president. He probably wrote contemporaneous memos of a lot of different interactions. This is apparently typical of FBI agents. Frankly, a lot of people in government, and people do this all the time, where they recount meetings that they have with people.
So but, we can look forward to seeing the Obama loyalty memo.
Right, indeed. But in Comey's case, this was standard practice of FBI agents when they had any type of meetings or interviews and whatnot. These things are regularly submissible in court and stand up as pieces of evidence based upon the methodology that the FBI uses. So when Comey writes this memo, he writes it within hours of the interaction, and then he sends it to senior FBI officials and other associates. We don't know who those other associates would be. To establish this was a memo he wrote at that time, where presumably, you know, unless he's Lex Luthor, doesn't have the ability to project into the future as to what's going on in some type of grand scheme. And according to sources, maybe it's not true, but according to sources, one of these memos recounts a time that they met, I believe in February, that President Trump asked Comey to shut down the federal investigation into Michael Flynn. This is right after Michael Flynn was fired. "I hope you can let this go," is the quote the president told Mr. Comey, according to the memo. In fact, it goes on to the exchanges. "Mr. Comey shared the existence of the memo with FBI officials, close associates. The New York Times has not viewed a copy of the memo, which is unclassified, but one of Mr. Comey's associates read part of it to a Times reporter. Quote, I hope you can see your way clear to letting this go, to letting Flynn go, Mr. Trump told Mr. Comey. He is a good guy. I hope you can let this go. Mr. Trump told Mr. Comey that Flynn had done nothing wrong, according to the memo. Mr. Comey did not say anything to Mr. Trump about curtailing the investigation, replying only, I agree. He is a good guy. Okay. And I, you know,
vindicated.
No. Yeah, vindicated. See, okay.
Exactly.
Bingo.
James,
that's what I
said it himself.
Here's the here's what is, I think, not terribly complicated about this. This is basically the string that Comey has pulled out there and said, I'm going to put this out in such a way that you can't help but pull on it. And what you're going to find next is going to be even worse. And it appears to have worked at least the, you know, phase one of the plan. Because Jason Chaffetz, the soon-to-be-retired Republican chairman of the House Oversight Committee, has demanded that the FBI turn over all, quote, memoranda, notes, summaries, and recordings of discussions between Mr. Trump and Mr. Comey. And so what you have here is the ability of Comey, who may or may not have an actual case, a criminal case against Flynn, although I think it's likely they do against Flynn, against Trump, against Jared, against Ivanka, against whomever.
Whole crime family.
I mean, who knows what he has? But as of the day that he was fired, he did not have a fully formed case. However, this stuff is now going to be released, at the very least, to members of this committee. Comey has, he didn't want to release it. He's being forced to release all this information, some of which is innuendo, speculation, whatnot, but it's all going to be put out there. And remember, impeachment and the 25th Amendment, for that matter, these are not criminal procedures. These are political procedures. And so it doesn't matter if he didn't have a fully formed case. In fact, if he didn't have a fully formed case, this is the best case scenario, that someone else forces him to put forward all of the three-quarter finished work, half-finished work, that will certainly look, I think, bad for Trump. And I bet it's worse than this, because these guys are professional creators of narratives. And, you know, they're not Hollywood scriptwriters, so I'm not saying that as a compliment, per se.
You don't get to be FBI director unless you know your way around a memorandum.
Well, I mean, look, we've seen what they do to people who are completely innocent.
Oh, really?
Right?
They know how to handle some innocent Muslim guy.
Exactly.
I think they can take care of this.
Exactly. Hey, you know, all we need are three guys who are looking for some military-style boots and uniforms, and we can create a virtual coup against the United States. And so these guys know what they're doing. This is not a good situation for the Trump administration. And in fact, and here is... And, you know, I mean, you watch television, it doesn't matter what news network you watch, if it's anything but Fox, and you see all these former Justice Department officials and CIA officials and communications officials, and I would just guess, I have nothing to base this on, but some sort of disturbingly high portion of a percentage of those people are probably involved in some type of, like, you know, Tuesday brunch meeting where it's like, this is what we're going to do this week. So, you know, all of this stuff, you have to just be conscious that everyone who's presenting this information, and maybe some instances it's not, but the vast majority of them, there's an agenda behind it. I'm not saying that about anybody specific. I have no. This is Matthew Miller. He's the former spokesman for Eric Holder. And I'm not saying it about him per se. I'm just, who knows? But here he is on Morning Joe this morning and suggesting exactly what I've said, that the leak that we've just got from the Camp Comey is, you know, undoubtedly not the full Monty, if you will.
Where you said, effectively, stay tuned. This was last week. Director James Comey keeps a paper trail of just about everything. Do you suspect that the memo that was leaked to the New York Times or conveyed in some way and described to the New York Times yesterday is the first of many that we'll hear about from Comey?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, the Times, in fact, reported that he had written a number of memos. And I think if you look at Jim Comey's past, this is completely consistent with what he's done in prior administrations he served in. He wrote memos like this in the Bush administration. And if you look at the memo that came out last night, and you think about the inappropriate conduct it reveals, remember that he also had this dinner with the president in late January, where the president asked him to pledge a loyalty oath, apparently, where he asked him about the status of the investigation. I have to think there's a memo about that conversation, and I have to think there's a memo about other conversations. And look, if I were in Jim Comey's shoes, you probably don't leak the worst memo first, right? The memo we saw last night may be the least damaging to the president. We may be seeing even more explosive ones to come.
Yeah, I mean, oh yeah, there's, I mean, the loyalty conversation, God knows what else.
I mean, he's just sitting there on some level, like, and it's so, I just have to say, it's especially when you mention the entrapment of Muslims things, it's so hard to talk positively of James Comey. But you could just imagine him sitting there, and one part of him is like terrified, like, this guy's actually the president. And the other part of him is just like, memo, 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 report, report. Like,
right.
This is incredible. Like, this is such a moron.
He's probably written these memos. He mailed them to himself. He sent them to his mother. He gave them to everybody in the FBI. They probably were part of, like, the Christmas package that they gave out in muffin baskets. I mean, there's probably such a paper trail of this thing. it's going to be pretty crazy. Now, along these lines, simultaneously, this is, I guess, in the wake of Donald Trump releasing sensitive, classified, top secret information to the Russians, and it appears, and we'll get to this in a bit, that it exposed an Israeli spy embedded with ISIS. However, Vladimir Putin said on Wednesday that he would be willing to provide the U.S. Congress a record of President Trump's meeting with top Russian envoys. The provocative offer for the Kremlin to share evidence with the U.S. oversight committees about the Oval Office meeting came with the caveat that the request for the transcript would have to come from the Trump administration. Do you know, like, how Vladimir Putin, I mean, let's just assume that they in no way tried to influence the United States election, which, I mean, frankly, would be, it seems to me, gross incompetence on his part. But let's just assume, for some reason, Russia decided, we're going to take this cycle off. We'll just keep doing it in the other ones. And the U.S. decided, we're also not going to interfere for it. It's, you know, a truce. Even if all of this is just completely fiction, Putin has to be loving this. I mean, literally just rolling on the floor. This is like got to be Vladimir Putin's version of like Matt sitting at home listening to Nixon tapes. Hi. Like Putin's got to be sitting there with bottles of vodka every night and just sort of laughing and laughing. And here is Andrea Mitchell. Because look, it's possible Lavrov and Kislyak left and they made their own memos of their meeting with Donald Trump. It's also possible that the photographers, the Russian photographers that Trump let in, as opposed to the U.S. press, that they just hung around and recorded the whole thing. With either a recording device on them in the form of a camera or something like that, or maybe they just put a bug in the White House. Now, I imagine they would have, they sweep that place after, but who knows? Who knows with what's going on in this White House? So Andrea Mitchell asked the obvious question to Rex Tillerson, and Rex Tillerson, I think he's just like, God damn my wife for making me take this job.
Mr. Secretary, Vladimir Putin is offering Congress a transcript of that Lavrov Oval Office meeting. Do you think the Russians were bugging the Oval Office?
Oh, there's no way to know that.
What do you think of his offer?
I wouldn't know about that.
Well, what's the matter with my wife? I'm the CEO of goddamn Exxon. I don't believe in any type of civic obligation.
Meanwhile, back to the Comey revelation, the White House put out this denial last night. While the president has repeatedly expressed his view that General Flynn is a decent man, served and protected our country, the president has never asked Mr. Comey or anyone else to end any investigation, including any investigation involving General Flynn. The president has the utmost respect for our law enforcement agencies and all investigations. This is not a truthful or accurate portrayal of the conversation between the president and Mr. Comey. I guess we'll find out, at least when we hear from Comey. Comey's going to end up testifying. In fact, he refused to testify in private to the committee hearings, and that is because he wants to testify in public. And, you know, he's done this before. He did this back in, I think it was 07. And the reason why you do it is because they want to hear from you. And you want to make sure that you get to set the public narrative. So he knows what he's doing. And I want to get to Well, let's just cover also what we now are seeing in terms of reports as to what Donald Trump revealed to Lavrov. I imagine it was inadvertent. I think the guy's just an idiot. But, I mean, the idea that McMaster doesn't even feel like he can tell. Well, I don't even think President Trump knew where this was coming from. Like, you know, that seems to me to be sort of pretty, pretty basic stuff when it comes to, pretty basic stuff when it comes to providing intelligence to a president. But, so yesterday, McMaster's, in his press conference, I guess this was yesterday, it feels like a million years ago, said, that the city that Trump revealed was the site of this revelation was no big deal. Everybody knew the city. Of course, McMaster's didn't say the city. And now, you know, we see from places like CNN why. Here is Jake Tapper responding to that yesterday.
President Trump, in a meeting with the Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov and the Russian Ambassador Sergei Kislyak, revealed highly classified information about this specific ISIS laptop threat. The Post reported that the president, quote, described how the Islamic State was pursuing elements of a specific plot and how much harm such an attack could cause under varying circumstances. Most alarmingly, officials said, Trump revealed the city in the Islamic State's territory where the U.S. intelligence partner detected the threat, unquote. It's the same city. It's the same city that CNN was cautioned not to report. But here's the president's national security advisor, General H.R. McMaster, when asked earlier today about the president sharing the name of the city with the Russians.
If you were to say, hey, from where do you think a threat might come from territory that ISIS controls? You would probably be able to name a few cities, I would think. And so it was nothing that you would not know from open source reporting in terms of a source of concern.
Again, this is the same city that intelligence officials say if we told it to you right now, it would get people killed. But somehow we are simultaneously supposed to believe that President Trump sharing this information, the city and more, with a U.S. adversary, Russia, is, quote, wholly appropriate, as McMaster said repeatedly today. That's a term he also seemed to define in terms of if a president does it in the name of national security, it is by definition appropriate.
All right. And look, and here's the point, because there's been more reportings overnight. This is coming from ABC. The life of a spy placed by Israel inside ISIS is at risk tonight. This is from last night. According to current and former U.S. officials, after President Trump reportedly disclosed classified information in a meeting with Russian officials last week, the spy provided intelligence involving an active ISIS plot to bring down a passenger jet en route to the United States with a bomb hidden in a laptop that U.S. officials believe can get through airport screening machines undetected. The information was reliable enough that the U.S. is considering a ban on laptops from all flights from Europe to the United States. We've heard that. Right, that was a story a week or two ago, at least, about the laptops. And so here is the problem: we all may be able to say, "Wait, what? Four or five cities in ISIS control would a plot like this be developed?" Okay, maybe it's Ramadi in Iraq, or maybe it's Raqqa in Syria. And maybe it's, I don't know, Dabiq or whatever. I don't know if I can name five major cities, but there's three. But if I was to say it's in Dabiq, the number of people who are probably working in the laptop explosive, find someone who is a British or French or Italian or German or Dutch national or, you know, and send them back to their homeland to take this laptop on a flight to the United States. The number of people in that circle who are aware of that plot is probably I don't know, no more than 20, probably closer to like 10 or 5. And the one out of that group who could be an Israeli spy is probably, you know, a fraction of that. So one has to imagine that that information could very well end up in ISIS's hands. And we could end up seeing that guy killed. So it's perfectly legal to do that. But the implications of it, ranging from that guy being killed through to like Israel saying, like, I don't know that we should give any more information to the U.S., to every other agency saying we shouldn't give any other information to the U.S., seems to be pretty substantial. And then, you know, Russia, who knows? Russia trades that information. Not to mention, supposedly this agent foiled this ongoing plot with the laptops. Which plan in the future will that agent not foil? And that also becomes, you know, really scary, because the one thing, I don't know when Donald Trump meets his end as president. I don't know if it's from the enormous weight gain that he seems to be pursuing, or if it's like a 25th Amendment type of situation, or an impeachment. But I do know the one thing that could inhibit that push would be a terrorist attack in this country. You know, that concern, people should keep that in their forefront of their minds. I mean, just you saw how quickly the establishment rallied around the idea of attacking Syria, which posed no threat to us. So, you know, you can extrapolate what their response is going to be if there's a terrorist attack in this country. And just, you know, keep that in mind. Because that becomes a real problem for us, I think, in my estimation. Let's go to the phones. Calling from a 330 area code. Who's this? Where are you calling from?
It's Richard calling from Ohio.
Richard, what's on your mind?
Well, listening to you talk about Comey et al., and I've noticed this thing on a couple of the other pieces of coverage, and this is not meant as a criticism, but rather as a suggestion. I think what you guys need is some kind of bureaucracy correspondent, because this thing with Comey's memo, and before that, the thing with Comey's firing and Rod Rosenstein, makes me think that most people don't understand the way bureaucracies really work. And it's, as a former bureaucrat in a corporation, for example, the Rod Rosenstein thing, when he came out and Trump said, oh, I only fired him because Rosenstein sent me this memo. Well, that completely ignores reality, which is basically in a situation like that, Rosenstein doesn't write a memo by himself. Instead, you know, Satan's elf Jeff Sessions and Donald Trump go into Rosenstein's office and say, we want to get rid of Comey. How can we do it? And Rod Rosenstein, like a good little corporate attorney, sits down and thinks about it and writes a memo that says, well, this is how you get rid of you know, Comey. And he just, it's bland bureaucratic crap. And if you pay a lawyer to come up with a reason to do something, they're always going to do it. That's what they're there for.
I think
as a former lawyer.
My assumption at the time was that all that Rosenstein was asked to do was give us your thoughts on the behavior of Comey regarding the the announcement that he was reopening the investigation. I don't even think that he was necessarily conscious that the agenda was to fire Comey at that time. I think they just wanted an opinion from him. And
yeah, see,
it's conceivable.
Let me tell you,
it's conceivable.
Let me tell you, and the only reason I say this, Sam, is because my spouse used to work for kind of the Rod Rosenstein equivalent in the city of New York, which is like the corporate counsel department there. Mm-hmm. And it's the way bureaucracies like that work. I mean, the fire department goes to the city's lawyer and says, we want to do X, and X could be we want to search every fireman
sure.
for drugs, or we want to do X or Y or Z. You make it, you know, tell me how I can do this. Now, sometimes they'll say, well, you can't do that. It's unconstitutional or illegal. But a lot of times, you know, they're just going to say, okay, well, let's see what I... Oh, yeah, here's a good way you can make that happen.
Well, I mean, I think that was pretty obvious from his letter, frankly. He didn't recommend that Comey be fired. He just simply said he behaved inappropriately and contrary to policy. That's more of an assessment than it is a recommendation. And I think Trump decided to use it. And Trump decided to use it as the basis of a recommendation. And then I think what happened is Rosenstein threatened to quit. And then Trump, said, okay, well, I promise not to say it's you anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. And likewise, this whole Comey memo thing. I mean, you probably have run across it at some point, but there's a phrase for it. It's called a CYA memo. Which is basically you have a meeting, you're a little unhappy, you go back and you dictate a memo. And it's like the guy said, in fact, you quoted him. He does memos all the time, and they're always CYA memos.
Of course.
Somebody says something that's snotty, and you go back and you write a memo and you stick it in a file so that if something blows up, you keep you pull out the memo and say, oh, look, Donald, you told me in February that, you wanted me to go easy on Michael Flynn.
Sure. I remember writing multiple of those at Air America, frankly. When somebody I knew was messing with me, I would just what I would do, and that's probably why I didn't last very long there, was I would write back to them what they said to me in CC, like a half a dozen other people.
Yeah. Well, and which is probably why you didn't last there. It would have been smarter to just stick it in a file and save it up.
Yeah, but not as fun.
Something to hammer them.
Not as fun. Appreciate the call.
So anyway.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Bye. Take one more phone call. You're calling from a 724 area code. Who's this? Where are you calling from?
This is John Pittsburgh.
What's on your mind, John?
And I've just been thinking, I mean, with everything that's going on, where do you think that, where does Trump's approval rating have to fall to for Republicans to feel politically safe to abandon him, essentially? Or is there even a floor to that end? Or is it just about cutting taxes at this point?
I mean, I think maybe like 26, 25 is when you start to see sort of like a wholesale abandonment. But it's also just a function of, how relentless, what the perception is of where this is going. I mean, I contend that, the Comey stuff may be much more disturbing. But I contend that Paul Ryan right now and Mitch McConnell are thinking, we're sent here to cut taxes and to inhibit the ability of middle class and people living in poverty to getting health care. And so we are going to do that. And they're going to keep trying. I mean, it's also possible at one point they think like, hey, you know what? Let's just get Pence in here. But I'm going to do a couple stories on that right now. And I appreciate the phone call. Let's look at Paul Ryan and Mitch McConnell's response to the latest revelations. Because again, these guys, short of the distraction, they are, this is a huge opportunity for them. And when Donald Trump is on the scene, you know, Paul Ryan's incompetence and idiocy really isn't pointed out to the extent that it should be. They think it's working. I've got polls that show that it isn't, I think, but there's not a lot of options for the Republicans here, for the Republican leadership. They have, the ship has sailed. And sometimes throwing good money after bad is your only option. Here is Paul Ryan saying, you know, it's obvious some people want to hurt Trump. And, you know, as far as the stuff that is really obviously not that, well.
Yeah.
Mr. Speaker, what about the political impact? Your members are on the ballot again in 2 years. Do you worry about some of the drip, 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 or some of these controversies having an impact on Republicans?
I don't worry about things that are outside of my control. I worry about things that are within our control, and that is whether or not we do what we are elected to do, which is to solve people's problems.
Yeah. Here is Mitch McConnell asking if he has any problems or concerns about Trump's ability to handle classified info. Yeah, I mean, seriously?
Do you have concerns about the president's ability to properly handle classified information?
No.
And those three guys behind him? Was that Thune and who's the other guys behind there?
Barroso and I don't know who the guy to the right is.
They're all just staring into the abyss. This is what I find somewhat interesting. You know, we've talked about the 25th Amendment on this show because it's been out there because Donald Trump is insane. And Barras Dathau had a column yesterday, maybe late last night, about the 25th the 25th Amendment solution to remove Trump. A lot of people have discounted this, but there's only one of two ways that this is going to end up going, right? And here is Dathau sort of providing the escape hatch for all Republicans. And he sort of complains that, like, you know, the president is unfit. And 3 days ago, I wrote this in an affected, world-weary tone, blah, 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 blah. And he talks about the presidency being a unique office and about how David Brooks wrote the other day that Trump is like a child. He's childlike. He's like a child. I would add a child who's maybe been in some type of accident or had untreated syphilis for 30 years. But Dathau says a child cannot be president. I love my children. They cannot have nuclear codes. But a child also cannot really commit, quote, high crimes and misdemeanors in any usual meaning of the term. There will be more talk of impeachment now, more talk of a special prosecutor for the Russia business. Well and good. But ultimately, I do not believe that our president sufficiently understands the nature of the office that he holds, the nature of the legal constraints that are supposed to bind him, perhaps even the nature of normal human interactions, to be guilty of obstruction of justice in the Nixonian or even in the Clintonian sense of the phrase. Now, let me just take this for a moment. The idea that Donald Trump is so insane that he can't tell when he's doing something illegal. Remember when he had this meeting with Comey, that if the Comey memo bears out, the first thing he did before he had this conversation with Comey is to ask Jeff Sessions and Mike Pence to leave the room. Now, why do you think he did that? Prosecutors call that basically evidence of an awareness of guilt.
So they could get ice cream. What's the problem?
I'm trying to put the make on him, and I don't want any cock blocks around here.
Wait a second. I don't...
No, of course not. So this guy knows what he's doing. So Dothout's like trying to make it like he's so childlike. And I'm sorry, like, you know, I don't know what age that Trump is supposed to be, like 3. But he's so childlike that he can't even tell that he's trying to avoid getting in trouble.
Affluenza.
I do not believe he's really capable of the behind-the-scenes conspiring that darker Russia theories envision. Well, look, fine, but that doesn't... You don't need to be John Le Carre to commit high crimes and misdemeanors. You can be a dumb criminal.
Why do we meet on the bridge? It's cold. Why don't we just meet in the office? Would that be a lot more efficient? Is my daughter hot?
It's hard to betray an oath of office whose obligations you evince no sign of really understanding or respecting. I am sorry. It's one thing to say he's crazy and the best way to remove him is the 25th Amendment. But it's another thing to sort of say, like, there's no culpability here. He goes on to say, it's an argument instead for using a constitutional mechanism more appropriate to this strange situation than impeachment, the 25th Amendment to the Constitution, which allows for the removal of the president if a majority of the cabinet informs the Congress that he's unable to discharge the powers and duties of his office. And should the president contest his own removal, a 2/3 vote by Congress confirms the cabinet's judgment. Now, I think they... This was a function of, the Kennedy assassination. There was some concern that he could get shot and he could live without and not die, but have some type of brain damage. The thing that irks me about this is not just that Dothout is trying to argue the 25th Amendment is more legitimate because the president has no culpability. Okay? I mean, there's no court in the land that would find Donald Trump to be so crazy that he's not criminally liable. He has the ability to tell right from wrong. These are not terribly intricate things like telling a police officer, I'm your boss, don't investigate my friend. Okay? This is not intricate things. But what Dothout is setting up here is the way that everyone around Trump escapes culpability and liability. This lets everyone off the hook. If Donald Trump has no awareness that he's committing crimes, then no crime was committed. Then the Jareds, the Flynns, the Ivankas, the Mike Pences, who were, maybe they were so childlike, they had no idea what was going on. Maybe this is just like one big preschool, and nobody is responsible for any of this.
It's just a giant collage of inbred real estate.
And if nobody in the preschool is liable, I mean, you certainly can't hold Paul Ryan liable.
Wait a second, all the hookers that I killed at the pee-pee parties, that was illegal?
And I'm not even talking criminally. This is a way of absolving every single person who enabled Trump from some form of guilt. They had no idea to realize that he was a baby. He was a baby. And they just thought that he was not a baby. And in fact, this is a way of Ross Dothout. This is a way of making sure that he has no culpability for supporting a party that grew this shit in a fucking laboratory for years. They all want now absolution. We had nothing to do with Donald Trump. Not when Mitt Romney went to take a knee to get his approval. And why did he want his approval? Because he was the king birther in chief. So much so that John Boehner wouldn't even wouldn't even admonish, wouldn't discourage his caucus members for bringing up birther bills. So that Roth Dothow doesn't have to take responsibility that John McCain brought Sarah Palin into the national spotlight and put her a heartbeat away from... Does anybody think that Donald Trump exists if Sarah Palin wasn't nominated vice president?
I can only speak to myself. It was an innocent baby-kissing excursion. He really does like his daughter, though.
If Sarah Palin is not nominated vice president, there is no Donald Trump. I'm sorry. Just there isn't.
But also, I mean, can't you think of without Newt Gingrich and how they ran Congress? Specifically without Roger Stone and Roy Cohn, who held around his whole career. But
I can come up with a scenario where, you know, Newt Gingrich exists and history just passes him by. But when the head of your ticket promotes Sarah Palin to vice president, and the Ross Dothouts of the world say, well, maybe not my favorite pick, but...
Oh, no, he was favorable of her.
I mean...
Oh, yeah. You're being too generous. He was quite, in the beginning, like, she represents real America.
Of course. So they all... This is... The 25th Amendment is the... It's like... We had no idea. Oh, my God. It turns out he's, like, some type of, like, uniquely non-Republican... conservative movement project. Unbelievable. That's not unbelievable. Meanwhile, at least some people are getting... Anybody I'm convinced who is... I think every single person... There should be a show trial for every single person who agreed to be part of Donald Trump's administration. And anybody who supported his candidacy.
Revolution.
And then anybody who supported Mitt Romney. And John McCain.
That would be incredible if he's like he's on Meet the Press and he's just like, well, you know, Chuck, we've gotten away from our old, and then someone just this like commando team just comes,
yep.
Scoops him up. They're like wearing baklavas, like, just this way, Senator.
Let's just put a fence around Alabama. We'll let some folks out. Give them, there'll be plenty of opportunity for housing because half the country is going to be empty. And then we just put them all in Alabama with a big fence around it. If you really like Alabama and you weren't one of those people, we'll give you something in a neighboring state. And it'll be just like Red Dawn, except for those people will be in there and we'll just go and we'll taunt them. We're not going to go see our dads and say, where did you leave the gun? And this is why you raised me this way, Dad, and all that.
See, this is why I prepared you. We elected an inbred real estate billionaire to preside over a constitutional crisis.
I knew
the communists would take over. That's why I raised you so hard.
I knew one day my bigotry would lead me to vote for a total man-child who could barely change his own diaper.
That's like the scene in, I have Lincoln on the mind, but there is that scene in Lincoln with the one legislator where he's talking to Lincoln. He's just like, I apologize, I am a bigot.
Am I being too Dennis Miller by just remembering that one scene where the father is on the other side of the fence and Patrick Swayze and Martin Sheen come up, or not Martin Sheen.
It's a little Dennis Miller. It's very college.
Well, he's just like.
Like, I would have only watched that movie when I did, which was in a dorm room and tremendously high.
I saw it in high school, probably junior high.
Did you go to the
theater? You know what? I don't know if it's possible I saw it at the theater. I loved that movie. I used to watch that all the time, though. All right. What is this?
Michael sent it. Apparently Trump is having a pity party up in New London, Connecticut today.
You know, I imagine where he is. He could be in at the U.S. Coast Guard, but this was across. Ronald Reagan spoke at the U.S. Coast Guard Academy's graduation, which this very well could be. And there were multiple helicopters that flew over. And I was always upset because I didn't have a chance to vote against Reagan because I missed turning 18 by like 3 weeks.
So my first vote was him, his reelect. But several of us mooned his helicopters as they flew over the Connecticut College campus.
Oh, look at the little Jewish boys mooning my helicopter.
And here is Donald Trump today. Really, I mean, folks, it's hard being a man-child president.
Look at the way I've been treated lately. Especially by the media. No politician in history, and I say this with great surety, has been treated worse or more unfairly. You can't let them get you down. You can't let the critics and the naysayers get in the way of your dreams. I guess that's why I won. Thank you. I guess that's why we won. Adversity makes you stronger. Don't give in. Don't back down. And never stop doing what you know is right. Nothing worth doing ever, ever, ever came easy. And the more righteous your fight, the more opposition that you will face.
What do you think Donald Trump would say is his righteous fight? Honestly, like, I'm just curious.
Russian,
like,
partnerships.
What would Donald Trump say? Like, what would his righteous fight be based upon all the promises he made about health care and the bill that they ended up marshaling through the House? What would he say? Just like, sort of like, we're going to make Muslims feel very, very uncomfortable in this country. I'm really curious.
At a certain point,
like, even from his perspective, what it would be.
A man should be able to step out with his daughter without feeling shame or judgment.
Full rollback on incest laws.
Full rollback. Ivanka, I love you. Tiffany, you're not for me. You don't get the red rose. But if I had wanted to make out with a 3.6, who was my daughter and the daughter of my worst wife, it would be you, Tiffany. But the point is that everyone should be equal under the law. Ivanka and Tiffany, hot daughter, gross daughter, it shouldn't matter. That's the America I believe in. That's why I'm in this fight. And that's why I'm taking, to some extent, possibly, and I say this with surety, the worst treatment, not only any president has faced, but any human being in the history of the planet.
I think that he sees his righteous fight, which he's not succeeding in on any level during his presidency, as the America First thing, you know, which involves getting, yes, making Muslims uncomfortable, getting people to leave, getting people to stop coming in, so, you know, making it's pretty white supremacist type of.
I mean, that's
and I don't.
That's all I could see. His NAFTA renegotiation stuff and the China's killing. He already basically threw that to the wind.
I don't think he. I don't know if he would necessarily see it as white supremacy. It is. It just dovetails completely with it. He just sees it as the. We need to keep the best people and keep these horrible people out. And we're going to do that by, you know, instituting these very racist and, you know, kind of isolationist policies. And that's what he sees. And he sees is the decline of infrastructure. That was one thing that he really talked about a lot.
Well, yeah, but he hasn't. That's my point, is that outside of, yes, the Muslim ban and anti-immigrant sentiments, all of the America First agenda seems to have been completely thrown out the window.
Well, yeah, he's totally failing. He can't do anything. He's crazy.
The Jews don't like it, so.
But I'm still.
That's what he thinks.
But I am. Even though I have rejected all of my righteous plans, they're still trying to stop me from going back.
They're trying
in
to
time
stop what's in my head.
Redoing.
I'm playing
the
with
plans.
The space-time community.
All right, we got to go into the fun half.
We always said that, though. That was something about Trump that we always called. We said it, on the racism and the xenophobia and all of that, he's going to fulfill his promises. And on the populism and the delivery, he's going to lie immediately.
He didn't even do that, but he just gave it up.
Well, attempt to fulfill his promises on the...
I officially feel like, even though I feel as though I and all of us have been being tortured daily with all of these things today... Maybe the Dotha column. I think this whole thing has, for me, now jumped the shark where I'm just like, it's just fucking insane. And like, I just, it's nothing is, there's no conceivable way for this to go anywhere but just spiraling more and more out of control.
Was there a time, was it yesterday, you thought there was a chance that it wasn't going to do that?
No, but no. I have always thought that it was just like, what? Like the dumbest shit that I've ever heard. But it was mostly just like, now it's just like, seems like it's just going to escalate into a, like crazy explosive something. End. Whereas before, I thought maybe it would just be a fizzle out end where.
Oh no! I think we're all going off.
He had a fake heart attack, and then he's something, and I don't know. Now it's just like.
Speaking of supernovas, folks, we're going to take a break, head into the fun half of the program, wherein you can call us at 646-257-3920. 646-257-3920 is the number. You can IM us. Remember, this show depends on your support. You can support this program by becoming a member at jointhemajorityreport.com. Also, justcoffee.coop, fair trade coffee, tea, or chocolate. Use the coupon code MAJORITY, get 10% off. Buy the Majority Report blend. You'll enjoy it. What else? Oh, if you buy your stuff through Amazon or Jet.com, head over to MajorityReportKickback.com. Use our links. You will notice no difference. We get a kickback. Be right back after this. Thank you.